Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Welcome. You're listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast, the show that cuts through the fog of war and updates you about the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
Hello, I'm Marina Yevshan, your host of the Russia-Ukraine War Report podcast, and today is April the 22nd, 2024. It has been 3,738 days since Russia started covert military operations in Crimea, 10 years and 62 days since the start of the Russia-Ukraine War, and 2 years and 59 days since Russia expanded its war of aggression. Today's podcast looks at events that happened over the weekend. During the podcast, you will find the Russia-Ukraine war map helpful to visualize the areas discussed. A link is in the podcast description. There are map updates today. The Russia-Ukraine war report is compiled by our team from around the world. Today's report includes information from our direct contacts and journalists in Ukraine, the Russian Ministry of Defense, the General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine Morning Reports, Operational Commands North, South and East of Ukraine, Open Source Intelligence, our in-house team of analysts and geospatial experts, and pro-Ukrainian and pro-Russian male bloggers and social media channels with a track record of trying to be accurate. We have one mission, the truth, because the truth matters. Here is my daily assessment, and there aren't a lot of changes from Friday, so if you want to skip ahead, I understand, and it won't hurt my feelings, because I won't even know. 1. We assess that military aid from the United States will arrive within 2 weeks of approval by President Joe Biden and have a material impact on stabilizing Ukrainian defensive lines within 4 to 6 weeks. 2. Ukrainian forces continue to have insufficient ammunition resources, particularly short-range air defense systems, which enable the holding of existing defensive lines and protect the civilian population. 3. Based on multiple reports that the United States has set multiple restrictions on what military equipment can be provided and how it can be used due to a misguided fear of Russian tactical nuclear strike, the world is caught in the mutually assured destruction and stability paradox. 4. Russian forces have an operational goal to capture Chasiv Yar by May the 9th, regardless of cost. 5. Russia is also setting conditions in 2 additional operational areas for future wider attacks, but we continue to question how much combat potential will be available to expand current operations this summer. 6. Russia's trampling of international humanitarian law has been accelerating since March the 22nd. In our assessment, the willful ignoring of blatant Russian war crimes by international watchdogs will continue to encourage escalation. 7. The disjointed response to Russian aggression by Ukraine's allies continues to embolden Moscow, leading to the most serious airspace violation of a NATO country since Russia expanded its war of aggression on February 24, 2022. Inaction by the United States and the excessively risk-averse rules of engagement forced on the NATO alliance are creating an environment ripe for a serious international incident. 8. The attacks on Ukraine's energy infrastructure have incrementally increased the chance of an intentional nuclear accident at multiple nuclear facilities in Ukraine, and the situation is more serious, especially the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, than what the International Atomic Energy Agency is reporting. While the number of drone and missile strikes decreased, Russian forces continued to target civilians, civilian infrastructure, and non-military targets. Over the weekend, Russia launched 7 Shahed 136 one-way drones, 3 Iskander-M short-range ballistic missiles, 5 Kh-59 air-launched guided missiles, and at least 5 S-300 anti-aircraft missiles used for a ground attack at Ukraine. 5 Sheheds and 5 Kh-59 missiles were shot down. The city of Kharkiv was bombed, injuring 1 civilian. the village of Peremoha was hit by Fab 500 UMPK glide bombs targeting an abandoned farm. A 55-year-old man was rescued from the rubble and is in hospital. In Vovchansk, two people were killed and two more wounded after a Fab 500 UMPK glide bomb hit a 9-story apartment building. In Donetsk Oblast, the settlement of Ukrainka was hit by Smerch rockets, wounding 4 civilians and killing one. A 54-year-old man who was working on his car was killed on the outskirts of Dnipro during a Russian attack. Russian shelling of the Nikopol Rayon in the Dnipropetrovsk Oblast injured a 47-year-old woman. 5 houses, an administrative building, and 8 farm buildings were damaged in the attack. After I recorded my podcast on Friday and David recorded his update about United States military aid, Russian missiles hit the Delta Wilmar LLC storage facility in Novi Biliary, Odessa Oblast, destroying over $50 million worth of oilseed products awaiting export to Africa. On Saturday, 3 KH-59 missiles were shot down near Odessa, with falling debris wounding 5, including a 3-year-old child. Then on Sunday, an Iskander-M SRBM hit near port infrastructure and a transportation yard, with the blast damaging nearby homes. 4 people were wounded in the attack. In Free Kherson Oblast, a pensioner and 2 police officers were wounded in Russian shelling, missile and airstrikes that targeted 15 villages and settlements and the cities of Berislav and Kherson. In Kherson, an Iskander-M SRBM hit an agricultural warehouse. The Khutyn Hromada in Sumy Oblast was hit by Russian artillery fired from across the border, wounding 1 person. On Saturday, an infrastructure facility in Shostka was hit by a missile, with no other information provided. Moving to the action report, we start in Luhansk Oblast in the Svatove Area of Operation, or AO. Russian forces probed Ukrainian defenses east of Stelmachivka, suffered losses, and retreated to their defensive positions. Fighting continued in the Kremennaya AO, where Russian forces' attempts to advance on Terny and Yampolivka failed. Ukrainian forces were able to retake positions in the wood block between the two villages and advance 500 meters toward Kremenna. A Ukrainian border guard, known by the call sign of Lexus, said last week's attempt by Russian forces to advance on Makiivka failed, in part because Russian mortar units fired on their own troops. He added that fighting was fierce, with Russian forces coming within 30 meters of the Ukrainian defensive lines. In the Siversky AO of Luhansk Oblast, Russian forces continued their attempts to advance on Bilohorivka from the northeast and southeast and Verkhnyokamenske from Zolotarivka, and continued to be unsuccessful. Moving to the Donbas, in northeastern Donetsk Oblast, Russian forces made another round of attacks in the Siversky AO of Donetsk Oblast. Russian troops tried to advance into Spirne again, and Ukrainian and Russian forces traded control of defensive positions southeast of Vyimka, with no significant change in the situation. In the Konstantinivka AO, intense fighting continued. The Russian Ministry of Defense, or ARMAD, reported that the village of Bogdanivka has been captured, despite multiple Ukrainian sources reporting the village was lost 2 weeks ago. The General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine reported fighting, quote, in the area of the village. On April 16, a Russian command post in Bakhmut was hit by 2 rockets fired by HIMARS. Russian sources have confirmed that 8 officers of the 331st Air Assault, that's the VDV, regiment, 98th VDV Division, were killed. Among the dead were the intelligence chief, artillery commander, communications commander, and the senior assistant to the chief of staff of the regiment. Russian effectiveness east of Chasiv Yar dropped after the attack, with Ukrainian forces retaking positions, indicating there has been a temporary material impact on Russian capabilities due to the loss of leadership. The spokesman for the Ukrainian 28th Artillery Brigade, Oleg Kalashnikov, said that heavy fighting continued in Kalinivka. Ukrainian forces have stabilized the defensive lines east of Chasiv Yar, with President Volodymyr Zelensky visiting the command post for the 41st Mechanized Infantry Brigade. Heavy fighting continued on the eastern edge of the Novye micro-district and the forested belt northwest of Ivanivka. The VKS, also known as the Russian Aerospace Forces, continues to hold air supremacy, dropping 25 to 30 bombs from 250 to 1500 kilograms on Chasiv Yar. On Saturday, Russia fired Grad rockets with incendiary charges across the settlement, despite still being occupied by 700 civilians, who continue to refuse to evacuate. Southeast of Chasiv Yar, fighting continued in Ivanivka, with no change in the situation. Heavy positional fighting continued northwest, north and east of Klishivka, with no change in the situation. In the Toretsk-New York AO, Armand reported fighting in the Shumy area. And no, it's not you. Russia reports fighting in the Shumy area every Sunday, and yes, it's a bit weird. In southwest Donetsk Oblast, Russian forces continued their attempts to flank the natural defensive barriers west of Avdiivka from the north, while Ukrainian forces improved the situation in the center of the axis. Russian forces attacked Oleksandropol from the south, suffered losses and retreated. Fighting continued in southeastern Novokalinovo. Ukrainian troops are exhausted and have very little artillery ammunition left. At Ocheretene, the 115th Mechanized Infantry Brigade abandoned their positions, creating a gap in Ukrainian defenses. Russian forces either didn't recognize the opportunity or couldn't exploit it. The 47th Mechanized Brigade, which has been fighting since October, was in rotation and had to be rushed back into the village. Russian forces were able to retake the electrical substation and advanced as far as the railroad station. Had Russian forces exploited the gap, they could have continued to advance west on the T-511 highway in the direction of Grodivka and widened the wedge driven through Ukrainian lines. Armored reported fighting in the area of Novobakhmutivka with no change in the situation. Ukrainian forces continue to hold back Russian forces from entering Berdychi, which remains a no-man's land. The Ukrainian 68th Yagar Brigade cleared Russian troops out of Semenivka, with fighting continuing near Orlivka. West of Tonenke, Russian forces continued their attempts to advance toward Umanske and Yasnobrodivka and into Netailove without success. Russian forces launched an attack south of Pervomayske, recapturing the school and advancing into the gardens toward Nevelske. The Ukrainian 59th Brigade is in a challenging position between the two villages. Russian forces also attacked from the south of Nevelske and were unsuccessful. In the Vuhledar AO, heavy fighting continued on the southeast edges of Krasnohorivka, with the VKS dropping up to 20 Fab 500 UMPK glide bombs a day. Fighting became more intense on the eastern edge of Georgievka. Northwest of Pobeda, Russian forces were able to advance up to 300 meters. The Ukrainian 79th Air Assault Brigade was forced to withdraw from the center of Novomikhailivka to the west of the fishing pond and only controlled 10% of the settlement. After 788 days of defense, Ukrainian forces are likely preparing to withdraw to their second echelon west of Novomikhailivka. Russian forces continued their assaults in the Staromlinivka AO and made small gains south of Rozhayne. Fighting also continued west of Staromayorske, with no change in the situation. In Zaporizhia and Kherson oblasts, fighting intensity remained low. In the Orikhive AO of Zaporizhia Oblast, Russian sources claimed fighting continued northwest of Verbove, while Russian and Ukrainian sources reported fighting in the no-man's land south of Robotyne. In the Kherson AO, Russian forces continued their attempts to push Ukrainian forces out of Krynke without success. South of Krynke, Russian sources released a video of Chechen blocking troops beating a Russian soldier with a stick until unconscious, for smuggling contraband and being drunk. Look what the fuck they're doing. All the fighters are drunk. What the fuck is war? They won't win anything. It's alcoholics, damn it. In occupied Sevastopol, a Ukrainian Neptune anti-ship missile struck the Komuna, an underwater recovery vessel that was the oldest operating warship in the world. The Komuna's keel was laid in 1912 and was commissioned in 1915. Satellite images from April the 19th confirmed the location of the irreplaceable vessel at Pier 14. While an auxiliary vessel, the loss may disrupt submarine operations in the Black Sea, leaving few options for search, rescue, and recovery. High-resolution satellite images from Planet Labs, shared by the United States state media agency Radio Liberty, confirmed that a cluster of four S-400 anti-aircraft missile launches at the Jankoi military airfield in occupied Crimea was destroyed by an ATACMS missile. The images also confirmed reports by the Crimean Tatar insurgent organization ATESH that ammunition located in the northeast corner of the airfield exploded. Here is my theater-wide update. On Saturday, the U.S. House of Representatives approved H.R. 8035, paving the way for Ukraine to receive $61 billion in financial and military aid. The bill was approved 311-112, with one abstention and seven congresspersons not voting. There were two attempts to kill the bill. An amendment introduced by Congressperson Marjorie Taylor Greene that would strip all funds from the draft law was defeated 71-351. A second attempt also failed. H.R. 8038, which seizes up to $5 billion in Russian assets in U.S. banks, also passed 385-55, with 18 congresspersons not voting. President Zelensky hailed the passage of the bill. Quote, "Today we received the decision we were expecting about the package of American support, for which we fought so much. A very weighty package that will be felt by our soldiers on the front lines, our cities and villages that suffer from Russian terror. Today the United States House of Representatives voted. Thank you to each and everyone who supported our package. This is a solution to protect lives. Thank you personally to Speaker Mike Johnson and to all American hearts who, like us in Ukraine, feel that Russian evil must not win. I hope that the consideration of the package in the U.S. Senate and the referral to President Biden will be quick enough." Unquote. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said that a vote to approve the amendments to the Senate bill will happen on April the 23rd and then move to President Joe Biden's desk for approval. The delay between House approval and the Senate vote is so the Senate bill can be rewritten to adopt the changes made in the lower house. The Kremlin appears to have been blindsided by the passage, lacking a cohesive response and expressing anger. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said, quote, "The decision to provide aid to Ukraine was expected and predictable. This will further enrich the United States and further ruin Ukraine, with more Ukrainians killed due to the fault of the Kyiv regime," while vowing that Moscow would take revenge on the United States for seizing Russian assets. Quote, "Any time limits here will be unlikely, and we will do it in the way that best suits our interests." Unquote. Now, no you won't, and you've already stolen billions in assets from the West when you seized over 650 commercial aircraft and started nationalizing foreign businesses. Former president of Russia Dmitry Medvedev, who was once viewed as more moderate than autocrat Vladimir Putin, tried to use a new talking point, declaring that, quote, "gleeful American freaks only want to continue, quote, the civil war between the divided people of our previously united country." Civil war? You invaded Crimea and Donbass in 2014. Over the weekend, Russian forces significantly increased the number of attacks, launching almost 200 assaults across the line of conflict. In our assessment, they are likely trying to advance as far as possible before U.S. aid arrives and starts stabilizing the lines. At the Aviatorske military airfield in Dnipropetrovsk Oblast, an Iskander-M SRBM destroyed a Ukrainian MiG-29, potentially the fourth aircraft lost in less than a week. The plane was not a decoy and appeared to be being prepared for flight when it was hit. During the first 3 weeks of April, Russia used 265 Shahed 136 one-way drones, down substantially from February and March. Ukrainian air defenses have improved, shooting down 90% of the Iranian-sourced UAVs. During the same period, the VKS has dropped approximately 2,000 aerial bombs in various configurations, including production continues to climb, and Russia is taking advantage of its hold on air supremacy. The French Crotale air defense system is in operation in Ukraine after being withdrawn in the fall of 2022. When first deployed, the Crotale was found to be deficient compared to other air defense systems and in need of having its software reprogrammed. An MIM-104 Patriot air defense launcher was photographed being offloaded in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, with indications it experienced an electrical or equipment fire. It is unknown if a near miss from a Russian strike or a mechanical failure caused the damage. The Minister of Energy of Ukraine, Herman Halushenko, said that Germany has offered to give Ukraine critical parts from its closed coal power plants to assist in making faster repairs to destroyed infrastructure. Lithuania donated a single L-39ZA Albatross light attack aircraft and trainer to Ukraine. It is unclear how the single plane will be used. And that's what we know. Your support of my home, Ukraine, helps us make history and protect the future for all.
You've been listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast. To help keep us independent, please consider providing financial support by becoming a patron. Want on-demand news in your hand? Download the Google News app and make Malcontent News one of your favorites to receive breaking news updates. Thank you for listening.